Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you wash it first, it makes it harder.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
All right,
on 95.7 The Game.
Sorry, false start, 5 yards, still first down.
Yeah.
Alex Pavlovich is moments away. We know that he will rip the Giants and Farhan Zaidi for all of this crap that they've been trying to pull on us the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to that. Alex, stand by. That's what we're expecting from you today. It's all sponsored by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Willard and Dibs, and back to your phone calls after at 888-957-9570. That's our Xfinity mobile text line as well. And Mike Silver, who's got a brand-new gig on Colin Cowherd's platform, spitting NFL knowledge. And with a lot going on that front, we're excited to have Mike on a little bit later on this hour. But time for our Giants Insider. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the great Alex Pavlovich. Alex, good to catch up. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. I think this is that time of year where everybody starts paying attention to the Giants again.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys.
Yeah, we're going to wipe the Warrior confetti off of our forehead and dial back in. And based on some things that I hear from, let's just say there was a spirited debate with our morning show. But I hear this from fans all over the place, and I know you do too. What is your answer when someone says, gosh darn it, these Giants, like, forget the fact that they win most of their games. They won't spend any money, and they're cheap, and they're doing it the small market way, and I won't have it. What's your response?
I don't disagree with them. I mean, I think it's, you know, and you've been at the park a whole lot. One thing that's really started to stand out to me as I look around the park, and look, frankly, it hasn't been full. It hasn't been close to full. It's been about 20,000 a night, unless you have a big series, and that's not what we've grown accustomed to around here. And I think the other thing for me is I usually look in front of the press box and try to see what jerseys there are out there. And it's, you know, Buster Posey, Tim Winscombe, Hunter Pence, Madison Bumgarner, like occasionally a Strzemski jersey, some Logan Webb jerseys, some Wade jerseys. But I don't blame fans necessarily who feel like they haven't been given reasons outside of the winning to follow this team, because it is a team where if you are following them on a nightly basis, yeah, you know who Austin Wins is. You know the Luis Gonzalez story. You understand how they put this bullpen together and all of that. But, yeah, there is an element, too, of just wanting to see somebody that you know and wanting to see the team go out in the offseason and spend a lot of money, and they haven't done that.
Is the challenge that they've tried to spend and that hitters don't want to come here, or is it more a sense of this is the way Farhan Zaidi wants to go about things with a churn of the bottom of the roster while waiting for arbitration-controlled prospects to come up?
I think the challenge is that they're generally right, and this is probably the right way to do business. And you look at, everybody wanted Chris Bryant back. That's been a disaster for the Rockies, and even if you take away how big the contract was, like, he just hasn't played. He's barely played for them. They're on the hook for $180-plus million even if the Giants had gotten him for 120, they would have been much better off with Jock Peterson for $6 million. So I think that is the challenge. And, you know, they fans fell in love with Kevin Gausman, but they went and got Rodon for less than half the price, and he's been just as good. So it is a little bit difficult because in baseball, I think it's a little bit different. I mean, sometimes the best way is the way they're doing it, and that is to go and just be really smart and get guys like Jock Peterson, who's one of the best hitters in the National League, cost him $6 million. And, you know, they go out last year and get Gonzalez, who has been one of their best players and a really good story. And that was free, basically. Yastrzemski was free. Womantle Jr. was free. So these things, I think, make you want to double down on that strategy. But it is difficult to kind of, you know, sell that to the fan base at times, because there are other guys, too, that have been in that boat that haven't turned out to be good players. So you're constantly selling them on trying to, you know, win around the margins, which they do constantly. I just don't know that, you know, that's that exciting to a lot of fans. So I think that's the challenge they have right now, is that they have put a winning product out there the last 2 years. They have proven they're incredibly good at what they do, but I don't know that they have given, you know, the more casual fans a reason to come to the ballpark.
Alex Pavlovich with us here, Willard and Dibs. Okay, that's a fascinating conversation. And, you know, you talk about jerseys, and it's still the posy jerseys. Like, everyone is dying for that homegrown player or players to come on up. And here's what I see is maybe actually a building issue for Farhan, because he told us directly a couple of weeks ago, it all has to start with a base from the farm system. That's how the Dodgers started. And he goes, and then we go and spend a bunch of money and pluck players and strike at the right time. Here's the problem there. When are the homegrown stars coming? Because the first wave was supposed to be this year. Bart couldn't hang. Ramos is struggling. How big of a problem is that for Farhan's plan?
Yeah, you know, in terms of them winning, it hasn't been, because they've replaced those guys and they continue to win. But in terms of just kind of building something sustainable and building something that I think fans can fall in love with, it's just different when a guy is homegrown. And I think we saw it with the Warriors this year. I mean, it's just different when it's a Jordan Poole who takes the step. And fans can say, I was there from the beginning. I was there when he wasn't this guy, and now he's scoring 30 points. And you know, we've seen a different buzz around the ballpark when Ramos was there just briefly in the beginning of the year and had a couple of good games. And when Joey Bart hit his home run opening day, and anytime Joey does something, it's going to be different. I think we've seen that with the guys here. So he's right. I mean, he has to wait and wait for this class to get here. But the problem with baseball is you can't draft a guy and hope he's there the next year or hope he's there that season as a rookie of the year. I mean, it's going to take a while with guys like Matas and Luciano, and even Kyle Harrison, as good as he has been, he's in Double A, so you're probably looking at some point of next season. And I think he's going to be a star, but it's going to be a little bit before he becomes a star in San Francisco. And so to your original point about just, you know, not maybe giving fans a reason to cheer as much or not giving them that buzz, it sets them back a little bit that Joey Bart ended up having to get sent down to the minors, because I think if Joey was hitting 250 right now and had 11 homers, you'd feel a lot different about the trajectory of this team, and you'd probably see a lot of Joey Bart jerseys around the ballpark.
Interesting thing you said about good for business, because there's the baseball business and then there's the actual business. And if they're down to 20,000 fans, is there any pressure from the front office to maybe nudge Farhan toward getting more name players?
I don't think there has been. I think they, you know, they let him build in the correct way. And look, you can't argue. I mean, they won 107 games last year. They took the Dodgers to game five in that series. And you can't argue with the success. I mean, they are well ahead of where we all thought they would be. And even this year, I mean, it might be an up and down product at times. And it might be, I know, I hear from Giants fans, I know they're not the most excited about this team, but it's a good team. It's a team that should make the playoffs. It's a team that has a shot to win the division again. It's a longer shot, but they're right there in the NL West race. So it's hard to say, like, go out and do something that you don't believe in because we need to sell jerseys. I don't think they're going to do that. I think, and you mentioned how we said that's part of the bigger plan. I think that is part of the bigger plan, and we've seen that in Los Angeles. They built, and they built from within, and they got guys like Bellinger and Seager and Will Smith and you know, brought these guys through the system, and then they went and made the splash for Mookie Betts. The difference here is the Giants haven't found that guy yet. And I know they've kicked the tires on a few of them, and they've been interested. I mean, they had some interest in Francisco Lindor, and you go back to Bryce Harper, and this past offseason with Trevor Story, it just hasn't worked out. And I think until they go and make that big move and bring that guy in from outside, a lot of fans are going to feel that, you know, they're building in a way that maybe they don't agree with.
Alex, we also know that when they go after a hitter in the offseason, the hitter has to agree. And Farhan has talked a lot about how the ballpark is still a hesitant factor for free agents. But the deadline is different. So I know it's early. It's still a month away. But what are you seeing right now as the potential need for the Giants at the deadline and what they may actually do?
Yeah, I view this a little bit like last year. I mean, it does feel like they're, again, maybe a bat short against left-handed pitching, and that was an issue last year when they went out and got Chris Bryant. And, you know, you look at their lineup against – you look at who's contributing and who their best players have been. I mean, it's Jock, it's Gonzalez, it's Yastrzemski. Brandon Belt's going to be right there starting every day. Crawford, assuming his MRI goes okay, will be there every day. So – and Wade's coming back. It's a bunch of left-handed hitters. So I think they're a right-handed bat short, and maybe that's something you go and do. But again, if they're healthy, it's hard to squeeze guys onto this roster. The other thing that sticks out to me just watching is I do think they're much better off. Just whatever's going on with Tyler Rogers this year, and there's a lot of bad luck for him, but I think they're better off when he doesn't have to be counted on necessarily to pitch the eighth inning as much. So if they could go and get one more guy, and maybe Dom Leone or John Brebbia will solve that internally, but if they could get one more guy for the end of games and one more guy who maybe doesn't rely on contact as much, and, you know, you put a big right-handed arm there with Jake McGee and Camilo Duvall, I think they would be better off. So they traditionally have not spent a lot on relievers, but it is something that you can go at the deadline and see if you can catch lightning in the bottle with somebody.
From catching lightning to catching a catcher, is Casale and Wins, is that combo good enough at catcher, or do they go out and maybe make a play for Contreras?
I think it's good enough. I think, you know, ultimately you're looking at guys who are hitting nine. And, you know, if they could go and, yeah, if a Contreras is there, if there's a big bat there that they could slide in a catcher, that could help him as well. I don't necessarily view that as a huge need because I think these two guys have actually been pretty good. And, you know, a lot of things we don't pay attention to is just how they call games and how they get through games. Now, I don't know enough about Contreras to know what his reputation is there, and I've never heard things that jump off the page in terms of that. Certainly the bat does. But if I were spending, I don't know that would be where I felt bad right now, because I just think Casale has done such an incredible job with the pitchers, and I think Wentz has done the same thing. I mean, you saw it last night, just the way he gets through a game where they use seven arms and where Duvall was maybe a little iffy there in the ninth inning and maybe let his emotions get the best of him a little bit. I think they have two veterans who really do a nice job behind the plate. So as long as they're hitting ninth and they're just turning the lineup over, I think they're okay there.
Alex, real quick, since you just brought it up, Camilo Duvall, who we did not know he had a heart rate, him throwing his glove last night and Kapler talking about it after the game, let people in on what happened there.
Yeah, you know, it's a young pitcher. You have to remember this is a guy who was really not even in the big leagues until September. He hasn't pitched a whole lot in the minors. And, yeah, it's the incredible thing about him, as you mentioned, is there are times where you wonder, like, does he realize it's 3-2 and it's the ninth inning and he's, you know, being called upon to try to save a game against the Dodgers? It really is his best trait. But we saw a little bit of the frustration last night, and I think for him it probably goes back to the night before as well when he gave up the walk-off hit. And then last night he comes in with a four-run lead and gives up a home run right away and just, you know, thought he was out of that game and showed some frustration. But, I go back to his really young, and he's a rookie. And I think he's 24 years old. So not too surprising to me to see a guy show emotion. To me, what's shocking is that it took until June of this year for us to see him ever, you know, be just anything but completely unflappable.
Alex, great stuff. Great to connect with you. I know we'll be doing it more as the summer unfolds. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, guys. Take it easy.
Okay. Yep. Take it easy to you as well, Alex Pavlovich, our Giants insider. Yeah, man, Camilo Doval, the guy who never shows any expression. Maybe that's what this these last few weeks are about, the guys who never show the emotion. Suddenly, here comes the emotion. Andrew Wiggins is smiling, and Camilo Doval is throwing gloves on the field. That was interesting.
Can't throw your glove.
No. Nope.
You can't throw your glove in that spot, especially in a game in June where everybody's hitting. Camilo, did you not watch this game? I mean, it's no surprise that that was kind of a lazy fly ball, but on a hot day in hot Atlanta, on a day that the ball was jumping, yeah, you got touched up. Act like you've given up a bombski before. You can't spike the glove. I like that the Skip spoke out and basically said, that won't happen again.
Yeah, we as an organization feel that throwing our gloves is not something that we're going to do, especially in a really weird spot. Like, I know some people, so he got a fly out to left field and he thought the game was over. So that not only had he given up a home run, but he lost the count on outs. So it was a fly ball to left. It was caught. That was out number two. And Camilo thought the game was over.
Oops.
And he was just like, he let his frustration go because he's like, okay, we got through it. But damn it, I'm not pitching well here in Atlanta. And it was like, okay, now you have to go get your glove and go get another out, young man.
Yeah, that's awkward. That's always awkward.
Yeah. So anyway. All right, we're here for it. 888-957-9570. Adam in San Francisco. On Willard and Dibs. Hey, Adam, what are you doing?
Just taking a little bit of a break from working at home to give you guys a call. How was the parade for you two?
Oh, very fun.
Gosh, I mean, Adam, I had said on the show that day, I'd never been to one of those before of any kind. Like, I did not find myself in any of the Giants parades. I had not been one of the previous Warriors parades. And so that is, you know, if you're out there listening to us, and there will be more championships in our lives, if you're one of those that's like, gosh, is it worth battling in to do this, that? The answer is yes. Oh, my gosh. What a flow of energy, and especially coming off of where we've all been over the last 3 years. That was a day I will never forget. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I had never been to one either, and I'm born and raised in San Francisco. I lived in Colorado from 2010 to 2018, so I missed all of them. However, it was amazing. No, I wanted to say, number one, I'll be honest with you. I haven't started listening to Garlic Guys and Baseball Guys, I'm going to start listening to it.
Thanks, man.
Got really nothing else to go on for the next 3 months, and you might as well, you know, keep in touch with the Giants. I was going to say that I would also give a hockey prediction tonight. I know you guys do pick your battles. I'm going with the Lightning over 6. That's my prediction for tonight. You can take it whether you believe it. I'm going to give you guys a bold prediction.
Okay.
The Yankees, as good as they are right now, they're the best team in baseball. They have the best record, most hitting. They're not going to win the World Series. And Aaron Judge is coming to San Francisco. I'm going to call it right
Man,
now.
That's that Rocky High Mountain take right there.
Well,
is what that
I will say there's a...
I don't know which one of those was more more inaccurate. The Aaron Judge to the Giants or the Yankees won't win the World Series. He's not coming to the Yankees because he's got
Giants,
a chance.
Mean, yeah.
He's not coming to the Giants. He's
why
got
not?
A chance to be the all-time home run king if he stays healthy and goes to the right place. And this is not that place. And by the way, a quick, what do you do in Major League Baseball? He has his arbitration hearing today.
Right.
What are you doing?
I think it's Friday.
No, it's today. He's up on the docket.
Really?
I'm reading Jeff Passan's tweet.
I just
13 minutes.
Okay. I read last night that it was coming up Friday, but I stand corrected.
Well,
if that's just
Passan said Max Fried won his case. This is 13 minutes ago. One case left on the docket. Aaron Judge versus the Yankees. Now, does that mean that the docket gets picked up again on Friday? Maybe that's the case, but why do these guys have to defend their careers in the middle of a year? That seems very odd.
Very weird, and I don't remember a precedent for that.
Yeah.
But okay. I mean, I know that normally these arbitration things, there's arbitration day, arb day. Everybody knows this is right before the season starts. And usually, like, teams will settle at the last minute. And then some guys get to their hearing. And then over the next week, you're like, oh, yeah, they settled. They settled at, you know, whatever, arbitration, $11.7 million. And it's very, very awkward because you have to walk into a room and the team is on the other side and you're on one side and you're arguing over money. And then an arbitrator's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then you guys have to hug and go play. And to do this halfway through the season – I don't know if I remember, especially with high-level players like this, with Aaron Judge, I don't remember anything like this. But anyway.
It is actually today, and I'm just reading one quick detail, Mark.
Only reported yesterday that the hearing will be Friday, so something changed if it's today. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter.
As a rule, and this is my favorite part, as a rule, his 2022 numbers cannot be used as an argument in any way, shape, or form.
Wasn't that nice?
Sorry, Judgy. You guys are 50-18, and you are the odds-on favorite to be MVP, but none of that matters here because we're going to arbitration.
It's not like last year was bad numbers for him to go off of. He had 39 home runs. He hit .287 and had an OPS of .916. Just because those numbers are going well north of that this year, I think he's going to be in fine shape. Let me respond to a couple things you said, though, about Aaron. I thought that was fascinating. First of all, he's only got 183 career home runs, and he's already 30.
Okay.
So he's not going to become the home run king of anything. Maybe in a single season. And I don't know. We're past the days of the cream and the clear, so I don't think anybody's going to hit 74 home runs in a year.
They already are talking whether or not he can beat the Maris's Yankee record of 61.
That would,
I mean, if he's able to stack years of 50, 10 years of 50 gets him to where he's then 40 years old, and he's still short. Probably right.
Yeah, that's a big ask. He's only done 50 one time in his career. In fact, he's only done 40 one time in his career, and it was the year he did 50. But he does have 25 already this year.
Man, we can't mention that. It's arbitration day.
He's been incredible.
Those numbers don't count, Mark.
His career OPS is .949. He's absolutely incredible.
And you want to bet against the Yankees at 50-18?
It's baseball. And this was part of the conversation we're having earlier. Like when you go,
they
won.
To that.
Well, no, but it's like 107 wins, but they didn't do it in the playoffs. This is baseball. Like, I mean, it's very, very quirky when you
ask
get to
Tennessee
the playoffs.
That at the College World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't make the College World Series because they lost to Notre Dame.
You know, the Braves, Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, all those years, win the division every year. How many titles? One. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get into the tournament repeatedly and take your shot, and sometimes you win and sometimes you don't. That's not to just dismiss what they do in the playoffs as nothing, but if you're competing and getting into the playoffs every year as a fan, I'm okay. Like, I'm good with that. Now, with regard to Judge, I don't know if listen, we never know what makes somebody tick. Leaving the Yankees as a free agent is not something that big names usually do.
Right.
You want to be a Yankee. But he's been a Yankee for 7 years running now. Obviously, there are some hurt feelings right now. Will that make him want to leave? Maybe. And if he leaves, would the Giants be a destination? There's a picture going around the internet today. The guy's got a framed Buster Posey jersey in his house.
Whoa. He's coming.
Well, no. But
that's it.
You don't. Here's my point. I don't know what makes him tick.
Right.
Typically,
he's a Fresno guy, right?
Typically, I'm going home. Typically, that doesn't work. Okay, Garrett Cole.
Yeah,
he knows his family with Brandon Crawford, and he's going to the Yankees. So typically, but for some, Chris Bryant definitely did want to be on the West Coast, and when the Giants didn't come to the party with a long-term deal this offseason, he's like, well, Colorado. Which was weird because we're like, well, they're not going to win. But okay, he wanted to be out here. San Diego, Vegas, those are his ties. So if that makes Aaron tick, then that would be interesting. I don't think somebody who hits the ball as far as he does and doesn't have to deal with triples alley, I don't think he'd be concerned about playing in San Francisco as far as his numbers. The other big question, though, the Giants, in going after very high-priced free agents, the ones they have gone after are guys who are in their 20s. Aaron's already 30.
Yeah.
You're gonna pay him till he's 38? That's very anti-Farhan.
Of course.
But
that's why he's not coming here.
But would that be an exception with these numbers? I don't know. I don't think it's off the table.
I think it's off the table. I think the table is... So if they sit down at the table and Judge says, I'm thinking, have you guys heard of Mookie Betts? I want to live where Mookie lives. I want $300 million. And, I really want 10 years, but I'll settle for 8. Give me 8 and 320.
They have that.
But they don't want to commit that.
They don't. They may not want to.
That's my belief.
But their thing is to be very, very selective when they strike, but I firmly believe they will strike.
But I don't think they'll strike long term like that.
Maybe this isn't
the guy.
He's
going to have to show me.
Maybe this isn't the guy. Juan Soto is a target instead of Aaron.
And he's, what, 25?
Yeah, he's a pup. I don't even know if he's I don't even think he's 25 yet.
I don't think that Farhan will give a contract of more than 5 years for a player over 30. That's my belief.
Juan's 23. Now, Juan, you got to trade for, though. Juan's under contract.
They're all under contract at 23. He's probably pre-arb too, or some crap like that.
That's why he's so damn attractive.
Yeah.
Because you could have him for cheap for a little while first. But anyway, point being, I firmly believe they'll strike. I agree with you that age 30, paying someone to their 38. Right. But I know the Giants look at that in a way of not just age, but athleticism. There would be some sort of a look of like, how do we think Aaron's going to age? This was their concern with Bryant. They're like, we don't like the there's too much athleticism in the swing. We don't think this is going to age well. We're not doing 7 years for Chris Bryant. Maybe they feel different about Aaron. Aaron just stands up there. He's 7 feet tall and hit the ball forever.
6'7", 282 is where he's listed.
Maybe that works until you're 38.
And maybe they split the deal.
I don't know.
They split the deal with John Lynch and the Niners. And they say, all right, you come on down to be a defensive end during the fall, and then come here and be a slugger for the Giants.
925, what in Farhan history shows you a big signing is coming? Come on, Willard, so much hope / wishing. Here's the answer, his history. You guys forget that he was part of building the Dodgers too, and they built from the farm and then struck. And that's, he told us directly 2 weeks ago, that's the plan. They have the money. They didn't do it with the A's because they didn't have an owner that would spend.
But do they want to spend the years?
I don't know.
Now, those Dodger deals, how many of those deals were 8, 9, and 10-year deals with the Dodgers?
It is for Mookie. Mookie got it.
Was that a Farhan deal?
Well, no. Mookie wasn't, but a lot of the a lot of the other building blocks have been.
Right. And I'll have to look back and see how many of those deals were these type of deals. 8 years for a guy north of 30.
Mike Silver next on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, real excited about this. Willard and Dibbs brought to you by your Northern California Toyota dealer. And cleared to play in exactly an hour, the latest on the injuries in the Bay. But a big day yesterday for one of the best out there. Mike Silver joining the Volume Sports. Back at it with a brand new NFL show. The platform that Colin Cowherd fronts. So first and foremost, as Mike joins us here on Willard and Dibbs, hey, man, congrats.
Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Colin's really, really great, and I say that in terms of describing him off the air as well. So I'm super excited to be involved with his venture, and we're going to get really, really compelling and cool. Mostly NFL luminaries, I would say. It's been suggested that a certain basketball coach near and dear to the hearts of listeners might get involved at some point. But, we're just going to get interesting people and let it rip. And I'm really, really pumped about it.
Is it going to be, like, weekly? Is it going to be as frequently as you need it to be? How can we get comfortable consuming this content of yours?
Great question.
Thank you.
And, you know, Colin's vision is just get people and we'll put it, you know, we'll put it on YouTube, we'll put it on iHeart, we'll put it on Spotify, Apple, et cetera, et cetera. So we came out of the gates, as fate would have it, with Sean McVay and CeeDee Lamb, so two episodes. So I know those are both out there now. And, yeah, I think it's rather than peg it to a day or a specific release time, I think it's going to be more of a function of who we get when. But you know me, I've already got some big names in the works, and there are a whole lot of 49er people on that list, by the way. So we'll get them out, and however you can subscribe or do that type of thing, that will keep you in the loop.
Excellent. Mike Silver, Volume Sports. And by the way, I was going to say, when you said Colin is great, I'm like, yeah, he's great, but he's no Steve Kerr. Am I right, Mike? Like, before we get into the NFL, can we get a little something from you on the last couple of weeks of his life?
Yeah, we can talk about that indefinitely, by the way. That's a great subject. And, you know, listen, it definitely upsets me that not only is he, you know, the all-time leader in three-point shooting percentage and a five-time NBA champion as a player, and now clearly a Hall of Fame coach with four titles and six finals appearances, et cetera, but he's also really good at sports journalism. And, you know, I co-wrote a sports column with him for our high school paper. I think he preceded me at Yahoo Sports as a columnist. He obviously has been a great broadcaster. So, you know, I wish I could lord something over him, but even in that realm, he's pretty good. But no, this has been really cool. And yeah, I was talking about this with someone around the time they got down 2-1. And, you know, privately, Steve and I were having a lot of, you know, good text conversations, and he was good. But I just told someone, the most fun I've had during this run is when he and his staff have to problem solve, because they're just so good at it. And, you know, we've been blown away at times by Steph and Kevin Durant and Draymond and Clay and all the great players they've had. And obviously they deserve the bulk of the credit. But there have been a lot of tense moments that they've had to coach their way out of. And if you really break down the last, you know, during that 8-year run, those are some of my favorites, dating back to 2015 when they went down 2-1 to Memphis and he resurrected David Lee and got the pick and roll going and fought his way out of that series. And they were down 2-1 to the Cavs and they...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Came out with a death lineup and figured that out in 1-6. Obviously, they've had playoff series with Steph hurt, with KD hurt. They had to beat Houston in 2018 and 19. In really tough circumstances, that incredible Looney game in 2019 in game six. And then really 2016 was one of my favorite seasons. And, you know, I know it leaves a sting, but that's one of the reasons I just never understood the whole blew a 3-1 lead thing and the you know, kind of rancid Cleveland fan mantra instead of celebrating their one championship in any sport ever in decades. They turned it into that. And I just thought, as a, you know, someone who grew up rooting for the Warriors and obviously cares a lot about Steve, I was just so blown away that they got to that point where they were in those finals. If you think about what they had to get through, and and obviously, especially the Oklahoma City series, down 3-1, the incredible Clay shooting at the end of Game 6, a tense Game 7. So I just, when they got down 2-1, as daunting as it seemed on paper, I just figured this is Steve at his best. They will problem solve. They will fight their way out of this. And obviously, as Steve would be the first to tell you, it sure helps when you have a I'll say the word Jordan-esque figure, yeah. leading all of it. But yeah, that's my very long opening answer about what we've been watching the last couple of weeks.
Now, you make me not want to talk NFL at all with you, by the way. And I know you.
We don't have to. We do not have to.
No, I mean, seriously, if you can promise us you'll come back on, then I could spend this whole time talking Warriors, because I said to Mike, about 4 months ago that if they do this title this time, it's the Steve Kerr masterclass. So when you look at these Kerr moves, especially throughout the playoffs, was there one that stood out where you thought that's problem solving at its highest level?
I think some of it, sometimes it's things he tries that maybe don't work out awesome, but just shake it up, right? Like they started Otto Porter, who had looked so good in Game 1 and at various times throughout the season of playoffs. And, you know, it didn't go so great when he was out there. They kept starting him, by the way. It just, you know, shook things up a little. But, you know, I think he just has such a good feel, both in terms of strategic adjustments that, you know, you saw how they reacted to, Boston's moves. You know, Boston obviously came out with a plan to defend Steph in the first quarter of Game 1 that was maybe a little deficient. So Boston adjusted, and the Warriors had to adjust off that. But, you know, I thought there were a lot of little strategic wrinkles. But then, you know, I also just love the way that he is able to reach them and keep things, positive at times where other coaches might, be prone to, more draconian vibes. And, you know, obviously, the relationship with Draymond Green is so fascinating. He clearly is their, it has so much to do with their emotional makeup. I thought his Game 6 was a masterpiece. I think it's one of the, you know, the greatest games in a clincher that anyone's ever played, seriously. But obviously, in Game 4, it just wasn't looking awesome. And, you know, he had the conviction to ride Looney in those late moments, and that was clearly the right call too. So, the fact that he's forged these relationships and that environment for so long that there is all this mutual trust gives all of them the leeway in the heat of battle to kind of fight their way through some rough spots. And, you know, I never understood. I went to Game 1 and, you know, when I got home, I was texting Steve, and he had the same reaction I did, which made me feel better, which was, if those guys are going to go 15 for 23, like, whatever, throw up my hands. I mean, those guys didn't miss from three, especially at the end. So that didn't seem significant to me, though I thought Boston was really, really good. I didn't get to see Game 3 much. I was at dinner with a former NFL coaching great in a different city, and I kind of caught the end. But then there was just this whole narrative that, well, Boston only can lose if they screw up. Otherwise, they're the better team. And I'm thinking, are they? Because they don't seem like killers to me. They lost Game 5 at home to Milwaukee. They lost Game 6 badly at home to Miami with a chance to clinch. They almost blew an 11-point lead in the closing minutes against Miami in Game 7. I'm like, they're really good. Are they killers? And what you saw in Game 4 was a team of killers and one of the, you know, greatest killers we've seen on the hardwood, who, you know, is deceptively slight and just a little bit taller than me and Steve, who I had the guard on the playground way back when. But you know, anyone who is underestimating what we saw in that game and in that series outside of the Bay Area, because I think we all get it, is just missing the point. And honestly, by the third quarter of Game 4, when I saw what Steph was doing, I was very calm and felt like this is going to end great.
Volume Sports Warriors beat writer Mike Silver with us here on 95.7 The Game. you're crushing it with this, but there's no, you're too good on the NFL to not get some questions in, Mike. So, you know, you mentioned maybe a lot of 49er people who are on your list. I would love to hear you speak to the story that has unfolded from the end of the playoffs to now, which is, you know, did the 49ers mess things up with Jimmy Garoppolo? Was it just the shoulder? And now all of these takes on, you know, Trey Lance is going to be the next big thing, all the way over to the other side, which is, you know, Trey Lance is he just doesn't have it. From what you know, how would you describe the gap at the 49er quarterback position, the gap between what people say and what's actually happened?
Wow, that's a long question, or it's a lot. I have a long answer, but first of all, let me remind people that the Warriors just won their fourth NBA championship in 8 years, guided by the brilliant coaching of Steve Kerr. I wasn't really done. I just could say that every day for, you know, a long time. As far as Jimmy, you know, Jimmy has not been someone, even in normal times, and these are not normal times, who has been a great communicator in the off season with the powers that be, right? So they don't usually necessarily know what's up with Jimmy. And obviously him having the shoulder surgery discouraged some interest. I talked yesterday to an executive of one team that clearly is in the market still for a quarterback, so that narrows it down considerably. And he said the surgery still just scares people in the office, in the front office, to the point where I don't think we're going to be players. And so that's not something to be underestimated. Obviously, what they gave up to get Trey Lance, now that's a separate conversation, whether when Kyle made the trade, he was eyeballing Trey Lance or not, because I'm on record as saying that I don't think he was. But be that as it may, what they gave up to get Trey Lance suggests that you got to go to him. They don't know, you know, they don't really know what Trey Lance is, right? The Jets don't really know what Zach Wilson is. The Patriots don't really know what Mac Jones is. It's an anomaly when you do. You know, the Chargers knew that Justin Herbert was legit very, very quickly. But for the most part, you usually don't find out that quickly. So you would think with what they have committed to get him that they have to find out now. You know, I think the push and pull there is that they clearly have a team built to win now, that, you know, this is the window. And they were very, very close, arguably a dropped interception away from at least getting to the Super Bowl last year. And you know, if you believe that there's a chance he's not going to be good enough, Trey Lance, then, whoa, well, we have Jimmy here, and he's, you know, we still control his rights, and he's been pretty good. So you wonder if there's some, you know, voice in the back of Kyle's mind that's thinking, maybe I should hedge and find a way to just not move Jimmy since teams aren't coming up to get him. Now, Jimmy can do some things on his end to force that issue, I believe. And then there's the whole, if they cut him late or ask him to take a pay cut late, how much money is he leaving on the table in that scenario? So I think all of that is in play. But it's not like Jimmy and Kyle or Jimmy and, you know, the other coaches are talking every day. A lot of this is happening, you know, with kind of a cone of silence.
Right, and at a glacial pace until the rubber hits the road. Could one of those covetous teams be the Cleveland Browns, considering where they might be with Deshaun Watson, Mike? How does this work itself out? He settled 20 suits, but the scepter of future jurisprudence still hangs above him.
Yeah, it's a fair question. You know, they obviously made the trade, the Browns, knowing that he might not be available right away. You know, we don't know exactly how long it's going to be till he's free and clear. And, you know, it doesn't seem like the Browns and Baker are going to patch things up to the point where Baker would just hang out and be the guy at the start of 2022. They do have Jacoby Brissett, who, by the way, you know, looked pretty good at times when he relieved Tua, which is a whole other subject in Miami. And I think they feel reasonably comfortable with him. But, yeah, if you start looking at the dominoes, let's say Jimmy's not going to Seattle unless they cut him, because the 49ers probably wouldn't do that. So let's say Carolina is the team that gets Baker, and now you've got – now you're the Browns, you're the Seahawks. The Seahawks are like, okay, we got Drew Lock and Geno Smith fighting it out. Maybe they're content to rebuild a little, even though Pete Carroll is you know, very, very old by coaching standards. And so if you're Cleveland, what do you do? But I don't get the sense that they're desperate to worry about, you know, well, let's say it's eight games. I don't think that's a desperate situation for them. And then remember, they gave Deshaun Watson guaranteed money. They still owe Baker guaranteed money, unlike the 49ers, who can get out of their deal with Jimmy. And so are you going to now pay a third guy? You're going to pay potentially three quarterbacks in 1 year. And part of the holdup with getting rid of Baker for the Browns is that they're trying to get whoever takes him to pay a legitimate share of that money to get them off the hook. And there are a lot of owners I've talked to who are like, we don't want to let them off the hook because we're mad that they gave that guaranteed deal to Deshaun Watson, who has all this hanging over his head, by the way, and set that precedent. And so we're not going to help you when it comes to Baker. So it's a very interesting you know, set of affairs when you throw that into it.
Mike, great stuff. Thank you so much for doing it. Congrats again on the new spot there with Volume Sports. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And I just wanted to remind people that the Warriors are NBA champions.
Nice.
In case you started to forget.
the confetti has not made it all the way out of our laundry yet. But the reminder is always well taken.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. There he goes. All right. Mike Silver right here on Willard and Dibbs at 95.7 The Game. I love the question you asked him with regard to the Cleveland Browns and how they figured this out, because the NFL, by the way, very, very clear to state with what's unfolded over the last week, which is, you know, now there are what? There were 66
right.
Masseuses? Is that how we... Anyway,
masseuses.
Whatever. There were 60s and
alleged victims would be another way to put it.
Well, and then 24 actual cases, 20 are now settled, and the NFL immediately came out and said, by the way, the settling of cases has zero to do
right.
with the process we're going through in terms of figuring out any potential punishment for Deshaun Watson. The report has been thrown out that it might and maybe even probably will be the entire year. So if Deshaun misses the year and the Browns go, okay, Brissett, and the Panthers get Baker, and Seattle is not interested in winning and wouldn't do a deal directly with the 49ers anyway, .. you and I might lose a burrito.
He could get cut.
Where is, well, and
we bet with the morning roast that we said he'd get traded. They said he'd get cut. Nobody said he'd get kept.
You know, except for Mike sort of just insinuated that it's a possibility.
That he gets kept. No, team keep, as we call it, has gotten stronger each and every day. We knew this is going to be the way the arc went, because until Jimmy's healthy, you can't trade him and you can't cut him. So he won't be healthy, quote-unquote, for another month, most likely. So between now and 4th of July, I would imagine, or around the 4th of July, you're going to hear reports that Jimmy G is starting to throw. And then there'll be video of Jimmy G starting to throw. By the way, shout out Rita Oak, the great Portuguese artist who is drawing Jimmy G every day until he gets traded or gone. Today's day 140.
Oh, my God.
140 days of Rita Oak drawing Jimmy.
I mean, she's fantastic, but every time you bring her up, I'm like, oh, this poor girl.
Carpal tunnel.
Like, I mean, seriously, there's no way she signed up for 200 drawings. There's no way that was what the thought was. But here we are. And the other side to it, though, is, and I know because he's coming off the surgery, it's not like he was going to do anything at OTAs anyway, but they're barely even in communication, the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. They've totally let him go. He's not in there. He's not talking with the quarterback room. And so suddenly now you're going to enter him into the backup QB role for the 49ers. It's beyond awkward. It's a huge, huge boulder sitting on the back of Trey Lance as he starts his career if you do that. So I have a hard time believing that that's what they want to do. But fair question, if we get to the point where there is legitimately no trade, there just isn't a trade out there. There are zero options. Which is the more awkward press conference to have? We're cutting him or we're keeping him?
Depends on how Trey Lance feels. I mean, if you would have, at that point, have to have talked to Trey Lance and let him know what the situation is. Much like last year you told Jimmy Garoppolo, hey, we're moving up, we're drafting a QB, your days here are numbered. Ultimately, Jimmy Garoppolo is the kind of guy, I think, who you could reintroduce him and say, well, turns out he's not leaving after all. Ha ha, we were all just kidding. April Fools! It's July, guys. That doesn't work. But I think ultimately it would be awkward for Trey Lance unless you came out, you talk to Trey, and you say, Trey, you're the starter. Under no circumstance are we taking you out unless you stink.
Yeah.
And it's your job. You got the gig. We're going to keep Jimmy because we want an insurance policy, but it's your gig. Then you come out to the public and say, Trey Lance is our starter. Jimmy's going to have to fight to be the number two.
I mean, I don't even know if you can do that. Let's play that out, though.
That's a hard one.
Okay, Trey's not good. Now you put Jimmy back in there. He takes the 49ers to the playoffs or something.
No.
And now his contract's up.
You got to resign him.
What do we do now?
Yeah.
So they got to protect themselves from that scenario for sure. 888-957-9570 is the number. Great conversation with Alex Pavlovich, our Giants insider earlier, who I think struck the chord down the middle of the notes that we've been sort of throwing out there earlier today. Started with a conversation on the changeover, which is, yeah, the Giants are 38-29, a winning team, right in the thick of the race, coming off of 107 wins. But a lot of Giants fans also still completely unhappy. As Alex said, no jerseys around the ballpark from this year. So, as they build, whatever it is they're building, are you okay with this process or not? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll definitely take your calls on that. Is this speaking to you or not? And how it compares to what the Warriors just did. We can get to that as well and cleared to play just over a half hour away. The latest on injuries around the Bay, including Brandon Crawford, who went down last night. It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.